Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you're curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QueerFam for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Cove, Modern Fertility, and BetterHelp. Thank you guys for making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are.
Love is love if you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we
stick. I zoned out for a second and then
I know what we both did. I was like, oh God, we're doing something. We're recording a podcast. That's not good.
Hi, thanks for listening. We're here.
Yes, we're here. And listen, okay, so before we get into this episode, it's November 9th, and we have to make one note so that you all don't think that we're wildly tone deaf on current events.
True.
So Our recording process is that we record the intros and the outros for the episodes a week prior to the episode dropping. So right now, as we're recording this, we have no idea who won the election.
We have 2 days left.
Yeah.
We have 2 days of waiting left. So we're sitting here on the edges of our seats.
We're dying.
Anxiety. But you guys all know who won. So, you know, we're either celebrating or not right now.
Or we're sobbing in a corner like years ago. So, like, let's hope it's that first one, right? That
we're celebrating. I don't want to repeat 4 years ago.
No jinxing.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. We hope everybody's like, oh, you girls, there was nothing to worry about.
Crazy kids worrying.
All right. So, guys, we have one more comment that somebody wrote into us from our donor episode that we had a few weeks back called Sperm Donors and Online Groups. If you haven't listened to it, it sparked a lot of conversation. So, you should go
really
listen to
did.
It because it's really made people start talking. And so this one comes in from Tiffany, from Tiff and Carissa Are Having a Baby. From, I think, was it season 2?
Season 2 or season 3, I think. Somewhere around there.
God, it's been so many. We're losing track.
Well, Tiffany wrote in and she just said she wanted to give her two cents. And she said, you need to keep in mind that people who are using these online groups, sometimes they're doing it because the sperm banks do not have people of color options. Like, there are very few sperm donor choices of color. And oftentimes they're mixed race, so very light skin. And she's like, sometimes you want somebody who looks like you.
Of course. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Most of us do.
And she also made another point, too, that it can be very classist due to the finances. You know,
yeah,
that like
financial and identity privilege,
yeah,
she said.
Yeah, all those people who have to pay the huge shipping fees from sperm banks and you know, multiple times, you know, it could be like $2,000 a month for sperm. And so, yeah, you know, and so it's just wanted to note what she was saying. Sorry, Jamie,
yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I just wanted to say, especially considering, you know, still a lot of clinics in the U.S. actually do discriminate against LGBTQ folks. And also, she does bring up the point that a lot of, you know, Black and brown folks still get worse treatment in healthcare than those who are not.
Yeah.
So really valid and good points. And thank you so much, Tiffany. We wanted to share that because, like we said, that episode just sparked such a conversation on so many different sides.
Isn't
of
that
it.
Wonderful, and though, Jamie?
Yes.
I think that's wonderful.
We're creating a community.
And I think it's cool. Like, people are just saying, hey, also consider this, also that. Like, it's just, that's so great because that's everything that we're trying to do.
And I think the main thing, or my main takeaway here is, don't judge. Everybody comes at this from their own perspectives. Mm-hmm. You know, walk a mile in somebody's shoes before you try to...
Walk a mile in somebody's shoes, Jamie.
Walk a mile in somebody's shoes before you try to judge the way they're going about anything.
Yeah. And that's...
Everybody's
going
to do it the way they want to do it.
Of our families is that we get to make our families however we want to.
I love us. Yeah. So... You know, give us, we love feedback.
Yeah.
As long as you don't say you hate us. Don't
nice
say that
feedback.
To us.
Nice feedback. Let's say one more thing. If you like Jamie and I's, as I like to say, dulcet tones, our audiobook is out now and you can get it on Audible, Amazon, and iTunes. Isn't that exciting, Jamie?
We're all over the place.
We are.
You can't get rid of us.
Wait, tell them about that new thing that you learned about with Amazon and the packaging.
So Amazon has this bundle deal. I've figured this out when I went to buy a book, but you know, it's, I have two kids, so there's no way I can pick it up and put it down. So I was buying it and I was thinking, well, how am I going to read this book? And then I looked to the right on Amazon and it gave this little package deal. If you pay a little bit extra, it's not much extra. I don't remember exact amount.
It's about the same as the print copy, really.
Yeah, if you pay a little bit extra, you get the audiobook as well. This is through Amazon. And then you can toggle between the two.
The Kindle and the audiobook.
If you're reading it on your Kindle, right? Yeah. And I read on my Kindle. So if you read it on your Kindle, it marks your place. And then if you pick it up in the audiobook, like you're in your car, you're driving, you're on the subway, it goes right to that spot where you stopped reading. And then you can toggle, but it's brilliant. I read a book this way.
I mean, I hate Amazon so much, but at the same time, they're brilliant mofos. I mean, that's a great idea, especially for like city people. Because it's like, like when I get off the subway, I want to keep reading. And so now I could just switch to the audiobook and hear. Mm-hmm. And the extra bonus is what, Jamie? The dulcet tones of Jamie and Robin reading the book to you.
The sweet dulcet tones.
All right, let's get out of this for God's sakes. All right. We have a special thank you to our newest Patreon member, Jenny Griffin.
Jenny Griffin, we love you. And I know we didn't say that wrong.
Jenny. Oh my God.
Jenny.
How is I not doing 8675309? Wait, Jenny, I got your number. Anybody? Too old? All right, whatever.
I know the song. I know that. So everybody, 8675309.
Jenny, I got your number. I'll stop.
Wow. Jenny Griffin, thank you so much. We love you. And if you would like to join our Patreon community, you're going to help us make this show, which is really important. And you're going to get bonus content. You're going to get video interviews of most of the episodes. Those are going to be dropped a day early to you Patreon users.
Without ads.
Without ads. Head to patreon.com/ovariestalk. And
yes,
that's
Helen,
good stuff.
We will set up the interview. It is Freya, and I know.
I know, Helen. Helen, she just doesn't let us
she
talk.
She just never knows how, like, just... Yeah, if she just did the tasks on her list instead of yelling at us all the time, Jamie.
She's got a to-do list a mile long.
She does. It's not done.
All right. Okay, Freya. First of all, I think it's my new favorite name in the whole world. Mm-hmm. I really like her name.
It's beautiful.
She is a second-generation queer. That's a fun thing.
Right?
That means she had two moms who used donor sperm, and then she also is a two-mom family and used donor sperm to make her baby.
Yeah, so this is like a twofer
second
story.
Generation.
You're
going to
get like the story about her growing up as a queer spawn plus her making the family. Helen. Okay. Let's roll the tape.
You can roll it. We said you can roll it.
Okay.
We said roll it.
We're still saying roll it.
I love how both of us look to the side every time we talk.
We're like such actors. We can't. Helen, I roll it. Hi, Freya.
Hi.
Look
at
you. First of all, I love your hair. It's got red streak to it. It's fun.
Thank you very much. My wife is a barber, so it's kept me going through lockdown.
Oh, nice.
You ask somebody to be with. Yeah. These are the things you learn through coronavirus. Like, you need to be, you need to know a doctor. You need to know a barber.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
All these things that you just don't think
You need
about.
To know a friend upstate with a house that you can hang out at.
Oh, yes.
You definitely need that. I also love your name, Freya.
Thank you.
I love the name Freya.
You're only the second Freya that I know. There was a little girl who was in my son's twos class, and she was Freya, and she was the sparkly little redhead with curls, and she was delightful.
There's lots of little Freyas, lots of little Freyas from like sort of age seven under, but not many my age, I've discovered. There was never anything in the gift shop with my name on, ever.
No.
But there's lots of things now. If I want to get some like bubbles or something, there will probably be a Freya in the gift shop. Funny.
Well, Freya just had a baby 6 weeks ago and is sitting here chatting with us and looking all calm, cool, and collected. And Jamie and I are just like, why do we look more harried than you?
Yes, we look worse than you do right this second. And after I gave birth, I was a hot man. I was not cute. Even after my wife gave birth, I was not cute. So... You're looking good.
Thank you.
So where are you, Freya? Where do you live?
I live in very near Manchester in England.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Should we start with the elevator pitch? Should I get my handy dandy little timer out for you? Are you ready?
You're going to be great, Freya. You're not frazzled at all. You're just a pro.
No.
I mean, I have completely forgotten everything completely. Can you please help me with an elevator pitch a little bit?
Well, let's see how you do, and then we'll jump in with like a, this is your life, Freya, if you fall apart. Okay. How about that? Okay, on your mark, get set, go.
Hi, I'm Freya, and I'm here to talk about the fact that I was conceived using donor sperm and very long time ago, and then I found two siblings talking about that, and I've just had a baby using donor sperm too, and I'm sure there's so much more, and I don't really know, and I'm 26, and in England, and... I have baby brain. It's all gone. Everything's gone. Hi.
You basically just everything in a nutshell right there. Everything.
I just like, though, that your voice just sort of got like a little faster and freaked out, which I kind of love that.
It's awesome. I'm so excited to talk to you, Freya. You're like one of our favorite kinds of guests to talk to because you're on the other side of being raised by gay folks or however your parents identified. I don't know. I don't want to assume.
No, you're spot on. You're good.
And now you also, how do you identify?
Queer. Mm-hmm. I go
so
by.
Now you queer with the baby. Like, there's so much to talk about. Let's start with your parents.
I know. Let's go there. Let's go down that road.
So my parents, they met in late 80s. They were both classical musicians, two women, and one woman very out and very butch, one of my mums, and the other woman a little bit more closeted, my other mum. But they both definitely wanted kids. So they ended up going down the fertility clinic kind of route and chose an anonymous donor. And it was in the days where it was very much anonymous. There wasn't ever the option of that changing. It was you got kind of hair colour, eye colour, wham bam, you're done. That's literally all you got. And I've always joked that my mum's had an argument the morning that they went to the clinic. And so my biological mum gave a complete opposite description of my other mum just as a fuck you and kind of said, yeah, don't want anything like her. However, my sister came out looking quite like her somehow. So it didn't really work.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were together until I was 8 and then they split up, sadly, but still got a very good relationship with my non-biological mum. I'll kind of refer to her as other mum in this because it's just a little bit easier. But I actually call her Gaggy because it was my first word. And sadly, that's carried on into my 20s and passed down to my niece and nephew. They use Grand Gaggy as well.
Aww.
So Birdie will probably do the same.
That is the cutest name. Gaggy. That's so, I love it. Yeah. That's great.
They say it was my first word. It's not a word. But they told themselves
it was
like
your first audible sound.
Well, it was her word. It was her word. And that's all that matters.
I feel like we're 5 minutes in. You've already said a whole bunch of things that we've never, ever heard before. Like Gaggy, never heard of. Like, what was that like when they separated? Did you live with both of them? How did that work?
No, so we stayed with our biological mum, Claire, and Nikki, our other mum. She ended up moving not too far away, and we kind of did holidays and stuff with her and weekends. It wasn't the tidiest of, not divorces, they weren't married, split ups. And I found out a lot years later that actually my mum threatened sort of taking Nikki to court and things, but there was no... So in England, you couldn't... The other parent in a gay relationship with kids, they couldn't adopt the child until 2002, which was the year that they split up. So Nikki had not got round to adopting us legally because she hadn't been able to. So she actually has no legal or biological link to us. And when there were things, when things were a bit messy, our mum did kind of use that as a threat, but thankfully never materialized. We had a very good relationship with both of them, thank God. So yeah, but it was, yeah, it's sad that they never got to do that. It was just on the cusp of when she would have been able to.
So it's almost like, it feels like you had like an 80s divorce. Like that was like my dad. Like he was sort of just, although it sounds like she wanted to be involved, your other mom, but like my dad kind of was doing his own thing, but you know, that was a different story.
Yeah, she definitely wanted to be more involved than our mom kind of let her at first, which was a shame. But I think in the end, she found that she could help with things such as like paying for my schooling and stuff like that. So that was her way of feeling like she could still have an input there because my mom was sort of, I think she said a lot more as I got older and I found out more about it. And she said she sort of ended up having to go to therapy and stuff for it because she felt like she was leaving us behind.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And I had a very good relationship with her as a kid. We were a lot closer than me and my biological mom, just purely because we were those kind of people. We kind of meshed a bit better. Me and my mom clashed throughout my teenage years and everything. But my younger sister was only 4 when they split. And she had a much closer relationship to our biological mom. So we were very much kind of 50-50 there. Kind of I was saying, how dare you make her leave? Whereas my sister was saying, like, don't say anything bad about mom. She's perfect and everything. So it was, it never really resolved itself as we got older. And they didn't see each other for years. And the first time they saw each other again was at my graduation. Which was, five years ago? And that was the first time they were in a room together since I was about 8 years old. It was very surreal seeing them sat next to each other. And I sent a text to my sister saying, our parents are eating noodles together because we were in Wagamama's. And she was like, oh my God, like, because we just have no real memories of them sat next to each other. It was very weird.
Wow, see, we're not perfect, all us gays. We're not.
Definitely not.
But I want to take it back, Freya. I want to take it back. Like, if whatever you know about this, the anonymous donor situation, when your moms did it, they went straight to the fertility clinic. There was no sperm bank, nothing like that.
No. So they went to a fertility clinic, which they ended up having a sperm bank attached to it. So they just said what they wanted as such, and they were provided with a very, very brief profile. And that kind of grew a bit over the years. So when I turned 16, we got a kind of update type thing. And when I turned 18, we got an update, but it was very minimal. It's interesting. So I did an ancestry DNA kit quite recently. And a week ago, I had my first contact with my donor. And we had a phone call 2 days ago.
Oh my God. Yeah,
so anonymity kind of doesn't really exist in today's.
No,
we say that all the time.
Yeah. So through that, I found that actually a lot of the information my parents have told me for years wasn't really true. They were just given a very brief profile and they ran with it and told me things that actually wasn't true.
Like what?
So my parents always said that he was a street performer, played music. Like, so in London, in like Camden Market and Covent Garden, they said, that's where I was born in London. So they said, oh, you know, when I went there as a teenager, I'd always look out and see, oh, I wonder if one of these guys could look like me. No, not true at all. He was unemployed and a student. So maybe they ran with it and went, and he was like, I played the saxophone. That was about it. So yeah, don't know where they got that information from.
Wow. And you've based your whole life on these things about your donor that, that's a shock.
And then all of a sudden you're like, that's not true.
Yeah, it was very weird. And I kind of, sadly, my mum passed away 4 years ago. So I've been able to ask my other mum a lot of stuff, but because they weren't married, my other mum didn't go into a lot of the appointments in the fertility clinic. So there were kind of inconsistencies with what she remembers. And I did at one point turn to her and say, do you think mum could have made some of this up just because it was a nicer story? And there is that possibility that she wanted to give me more information than she was able to, because there really wasn't anything that they were given.
Right.
And I don't blame her. I think you want to be able to give this nice story. But it did make me laugh when I found out it wasn't true.
Well, according to her, you probably were never going to really meet him anyway, because it's supposed to be 100% exactly. anonymous. She had no idea that ancestry DNA was going to come out. But how about...
Yes, she's like, he's a PhD.
Yeah.
He's a Nobel Prize winner. Hey, Jamie, did you know that no two migraines are alike? I mean, if you had migraines, you would know that. And that's right. That's why Cove helps you find an FDA-approved treatment that works for your migraine, Jamie.
Yeah, you know, my good friend gets migraines, and she is out of commission for days sometimes. It's really awful. And she can't ever really find the right way to treat them. So she's always looking for alternative treatment methods. They just, it seems like they just take over your life.
Well, you need to tell her about Cove, Jamie. Why are you sleeping on that?
I don't know.
Cove helps you get the migraine relief that you need, what your friend needs, all online, which is the best. You know how much I love that?
You really do. You really do.
All you have to do is go to withcove.com and complete a quick online consultation. And then a licensed doctor is going to recommend a treatment plan customized to your migraine. And your prescription will be delivered to your door for as little as $10 a month.
That's great. I mean, they say that in just a few minutes of your time, you get a personalized treatment plan from 20 plus research-backed, doctor-recommended migraine medications. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to worry about running out, because Cove sends your migraine meds every month.
No insurance needed, which is amazing, because right now everybody knows I ain't got none. No trip to the pharmacy, all
which nobody
online.
Nobody wants to go there.
Meds sent right to your door.
Yeah. With Cove, you can have more migraine-free days. They have treated over 300,000 migraine attacks and counting. Go to withcove.com to see the reviews. 96% of customers give them 5 stars. That's great.
Just get the relief that you need. You get it right now with Cove.
Yeah.
Go to withcove.com/OCT. You're going to get 50% off your first month of medication and free 2-day shipping.
That's 50% off your first month of medication and free 2-day shipping at withcove.com/OCT.
And I'm not that strong a speller, so I'm going to spell it out for you. withcove.com/OCT.
Get the relief, guys. Everybody deserves that.
You say that your non-biological mom did not go to a lot of the appointments. When your mom got pregnant, was your mom, did the doctors know that she was in a lesbian relationship, or was she doing it as,
she was doing it as a single mom. So it was, they could have gone in as a couple, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it was that legally they couldn't,
right.
Though they would have probably been seen as very good friends going in and doing it. But because it was before even sort of civil partnerships and things like that, my mom was very nervous that someone was going to turn around and say, we won't let you have a baby. So she very much went through it as a single mom. And even to family and friends, she was doing it as the single mom for a while.
Did they know that she was partnered up with your other mom at the time?
Not for a long time. It was only when my other mom was turning up to rehearsals with me as a baby and sitting at the back that people kind of were like, yeah, fair enough. They knew, but my mom never wanted to say it out loud. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, does your other mother know that you found the donor?
Yes, she's very, very excited. She told me yesterday, she said she was always a bit gutted by the fact that it was anonymous. She said she would have loved to have been able to tell me like where I came from. But she said to me that mom very much wanted it to be anonymous. She liked that, because she was very scared someone would come and want to take me away and or have a part of my life, you know, because it was very murky with those kind of laws in those days. But my other mom said she was absolutely thrilled that I was able to get those kind of answers. And they want to meet now. Her and my donor have said they both want to meet each other, which is a lovely idea, actually, because I think that, you know, my other mom has raised me very much and she will always be my parent. That will never change. But she's been fascinated about that side of me that none of us have known about. So,
And does your sister have the same donor?
Yes. When they went, they said, do you think you're going to want any other kids? And they said, yes, probably. So they kind of put some on hold for a sibling for my parents. Yeah.
Like, how did that feel for you to talk to him? Like, I assume you're going to meet him. Like, how was that experience?
It was trippy. Because I was the one that had ended up having that match, I was kind of telling people. So I had to tell my sister and then our half siblings as well. So I felt very detached for a few days because I was kind of putting myself as the neutral person in the middle in a way. And once I introduced everyone and they all had each other's emails and that kind of thing, I let myself really think about it. And it was only when he said, "Do you want a phone call?" And I'm not brilliant at phone calls. Like, I will always text. That's I don't do phone calls. So when I said, "Yeah, go for it," and sitting waiting for him to ring, I suddenly realized quite how nervous I was about it. But he was so lovely and we got on really well and talked for about 2 hours and didn't even cover everything then. Wow. Said, "We need to talk again." But it felt very natural and he was very human about it and honest and sort of saying, like, I was a student when I did it. I didn't put much thought into how the fact that these would be humans up and walking around. You know, he said it wasn't that he didn't realize it was going to produce children, but there was no knowledge of the fact we could do ancestry DNA kits in those days. Yeah. So there really was no thought process of I might end up meeting these people in the future. Mm-hmm. And I was very careful at the beginning. And I said to him, you know, you signed up for anonymity. If you want that, that's totally fine. And I can leave. But no, he was interested to learn about us, which was nice.
And so really does nice. He, what's he up to now? If you can you divulge that?
Yeah, he's a teacher now. That's and good. It's funny because when he donated, he was in Liverpool, which is very close to Manchester, which is where I am now. But he was only up here for university and he's gone back down to London. And we were born in London and stayed down south. And then I've moved up north later on in life. So we've just kind of swapped, which was really odd when we were talking because he even said he didn't realize. He knew that the Liverpool place he was going to was connected to a London clinic, but he never really thought about the fact that that would mean it was being used in London as well. So yeah, it was very much a sort of bizarre experience to find out we'd always crossed paths slightly. Like he'd gone for a honeymoon in Brighton, which is where I was raised. And we realized I would have been at school, you know, like when he was there for his honeymoon. It was just very odd, those kind of little
I'm picturing like the map of like your little feet.
Yeah.
You know, like that like you and you guys just passing each other, missing each other and just how interesting that is.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing. I mean, it must be so huge for you.
Yeah. And like I say, it's really taken a while to hit properly. And we've been kind of sending pictures to each other occasionally. And he sent one the other day and he just looked exactly like me when I was around 12. And I was going through a gawky, like long hair phase and middle parting. And he sent this picture of him when he was like in his late 20s. And I was like, oh my God, that's really weird. And the reason I knew it was him, when I first got connected to him, I just got told his name and I won't say it, but he's got a very unusual surname. So there was really only one of him when you Google him.
Oh.
I found an old Twitter, which he'd not used for like 5 years, but the profile picture, I clicked on it and his smile was the exact, if you cropped out the smile, like nose, smile, ears, was my half sister, absolutely spitting image. And it totally, I sat there for ages looking at it. And I was doing a feed of Birdie at 4 o'clock in the morning when I got the email. So I sort of had to nudge my wife away saying, I'm not going back to sleep. You're going to have to look at this with me. And we were sat there going, oh my God, it's absolute spitting image. And I, without a doubt then, because before I'd been going, it might be wrong. Maybe it's wrong. What if the DNA is wrong and he's actually an uncle? I don't know. Yeah. So really,
definitely
really trippy to see those pictures.
I can imagine.
You said half sibling. Is that what you use for other kids from the same donors? Is that the language that you use?
Yes.
How many of you are there?
Well, in total, there are 13, but we have only found two so far. Oh. So only four of us know each other at the moment.
Oh,
it's sort of unsure whether we'll find more. It's sort of, well, so I signed up at 18 to the donor sibling registry, which is what we have in England. I don't know if you have the same in America.
That's what we have here too.
It's not national. It's by sperm bank.
Yeah. So we signed up to that at 18 because obviously my parents had told us all along that was how we were conceived. But we found out that our half siblings that we have found, who are their full siblings of each other, so they're in the same family, they didn't find out for a long time that they were donor conceived. They thought that their dad was their biological dad. So it took a lot longer for them to sign up. So that's I was waiting for a match for about 4 years and I forgot about it really until I got the email. So we do have a theory that probably the other siblings will be in a similar situation or they just have no interest in finding siblings, right. Which is fair enough.
That's what I wanted to ask you. You know, like every child is completely different when it comes to this. My daughter seems to take a she's starting to really take an interest in her origin story. But I've heard of other donor kids who really could care less and want nothing to do with the story, and they don't care about the other half. And where do you fall on this? Obviously, you wanted to know him. So, and are you and your sister different in that?
Very much so. Yeah. So growing up, we'd been very similar. And I remember listening to a radio show when I was a kid on in the car quite late. And my mom was saying it was about people finding their donors. I think actually it was people finding half siblings and they were adopted. So it was slightly different. But I remember mom turning to me and saying, you know, you will have siblings out there. Like, are you interested in finding them? And I was only about 11 or something. And I was like, yeah, it would be cool. But the main reason I wanted to was for curiosity. I wanted to see if they looked like me or if they had similar kind of interest. There wasn't really much deeper to that. It was just out of curiosity. And then that stayed as I got older. But when our mom died, my sister kind of shut down a little bit on that side. And I think it was a loyalty thing. I think she went, I don't want to find the other side of our family because this side of our family has changed so much. When in reality, mom would have been totally fascinated. She was really interested in it. She was the one that wanted to sign us up for the sibling registry. But I think it definitely changed how my sister viewed finding people. It felt a bit like a betrayal, I think, for her. So when we did find them and had contact with them, the interest for her only lasted a few days. And then she went, I don't really want to meet them. I don't want that connection. And I said, totally fine. If that's how you want to do it, I won't, you know. But I said, I'm going to meet them. I really want to. And it surprised me that when I did meet them, we had a connection because I hadn't expected that. I just expected this surface level of, what do you look like? Oh, we've got the same laugh. And we do have, me and my half-sister have the same pitch of voice, but she's got a northern accent and I've got a southern accent. Oh. So everyone says it sounds like when she talks, it sounds like me taking the piss out of a northern accent. So it's really odd that we have that because me and my sister don't have the same level of pitch at all. And eventually my sister did she met her half-sister. She's not met her half-brother yet, just purely out of geography's not matched up yet. But when it came to the donor, I think me and my sister had always kind of said, we'd like to maybe exchange an email, see what you look like, and that'll be it. But he has won her over and they've had a phone call and everything. Oh. So I've not yet picked her brains on it because she's very much, I will decide when I tell you how it went. But I'm amazed that he's won her over to that level. So he's done something right there because she is a hard rock to break.
And he doesn't have a family now. It's just...
He does. Yeah. He's got kids that are much younger than us. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely I don't know how that conversation will go in the future because they're too small, I'd say, at the moment to have that chat. But he's very sweetly said because he's sort of got these kids, but he's divorced. So he was like, I've been wanting to talk about it with somebody since I found out about you, but I've not really had anyone to talk about it to. And he was like, I ended up telling my neighbor. So him and the neighbor just sat down to talk about it. Cause he was like, I just wanted to offload and show people your pictures and stuff, which is very sweet. But yeah, I think for now he's not entirely sure how to introduce those two sides, which is fair enough. I don't think I'd want to be trying to navigate that.
Slow and steady. That's what we've learned. Slow and steady.
Drop those seeds. Yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
The kids will pick them up.
For sure.
Jamie, if you listen to this podcast, there's a good chance that you're thinking of having a baby and also a good chance that you're thinking of having it the gay way.
Truth.
Which means you're going to need a bit of outside assistance to make it.
True.
And guess what? Modern Fertility can help you get ready without having to book at least one of those dumb doctor's appointments.
At least one. At least one. Possibly more. You know, for many women, their fertility is a big question mark, and that's why Modern Fertility was created. Modern Fertility is the easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. You mail it in with a prepaid label, and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days. It sounds great for our community.
Yeah, because traditional testing with your doctor, it can cost over $1,000, which is some BS. But with Modern Fertility, it only costs $159 to get that exact same information.
Crazy.
And if you go to modernfertility.com/OCT, guess what? You're going to get $20 off your test.
It's even better. It's
$139.
It's crazy. Also, here's some more good stuff. If you have an HSA or FSA, you can use those dollars on Modern Fertility.
Oh.
Yeah. And so here's what you're going to get with Modern Fertility. You're going to get insight into how many eggs you have, important information. hormone levels, and any reproductive red flags. We need to know those things.
Mm-hmm.
The results go in depth into what every hormone means, and you can talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps.
So, I mean, look, if you want kids today or maybe one day, you're going to need this information to make that decision that's best for you.
And like we said, right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT. That means, like Robin said, your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office.
Come on, get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
Modernfertility.com/OCT. Do it.
Get your eggs checked.
Eggs checked. Eggs checked.
We've had other queer spawn on who've talked about sort of the like that dicey situation about people asking about their sexuality and how they identify. Has that been something that you felt, or, you know, because obviously you did tell us already that you identify as queer, so we're not probing, but like, how does that for you? How is that? I mean, of course we are, but I tried to say we weren't because it sounds
in a
better.
Lovely way. You're fine. I think that I it's interesting for me because I don't feel like I'm asked very often. I feel like it's assumed very often. I think that the label is given to me before I get a chance to actually say what I'd be more comfortable with.
Always.
Why do you think that is?
I think because I'm in a relationship with a woman and I'm sort of settled down and married with a woman, there's the assumption that I'm a lesbian. So then that's a kind of given. And then if I say, well, actually, no, I've had relationships with men in the past, it's also you're bisexual. And that's kind of the end of the conversation, really. There is no opening for me to go, well, no, actually. I think it was once I came out as bisexual, then I came out as a lesbian. Then I went back to coming out as bisexual. And then I went, right, screw this. I'm going to keep going back and forth. So I just said, I like queer, and I think that it's a nice blanket term for me. I know that there are definitely some people that say they don't like the term, but I think it's the only one that has ever felt comfortable when I've said it in relation to myself, really.
And I think that you, of all people, have had a lot of time to think about this, being raised by gay moms. So this has probably been that's been on your radar your whole life. Unlike me, it wasn't on my radar my whole life because I had heterosexual parents. It took me until I started, you know, turning into who I was an adult to realize, oh, I need to start thinking about how I want to identify. But you've had a lot of time to think about this.
Yeah, I think my parents were very good at never making me feel like I had to say, really. I distinctly remember age sort of 12, realizing I had a crush on a female friend of mine. And I think I literally just went, this is a problem for another day. I won't think about it now. That was kind of it. and then I just came back to it later and I came out at 14.
Wow.
I think I could have come out younger in all honesty, but I didn't really feel the need to.
Did you feel any pressure with two moms to conform in one direction or the other?
If anything, I felt more pressure to be straight purely because I felt like when I came out as gay, there would be that, oh, of course you are. You have to. Mm-hmm. It was justifying every homophobic argument out there, really.
Yep. Well, that's all she's seen. And so of course she's gay, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was quite scared that it was going to, again, be something that was just assumed that was fine. Well, of course, you know, there was no discussion on me as an individual, that it would just be a kind of, well, yeah, you've got gay moms. That was how it was going to work. And I think that actually everyone assumes now, they always say to me, well, you must not have had any issues coming out. But I did, because when my parents split, my other mom, she's now married to another woman. She is very much gay. That's never been a question for her. But my biological mom, who was very much in the closet for a long time, she went back into the closet, really. And she only wanted to date men. Then she didn't really have another serious relationship, but she very much said, I am straight. So coming out to her was met with, it was the sentence, you have chosen a difficult life. So she very much thought, you are only going to have difficulties, because that's what she'd seen or perceived doing the same. And it was, no matter how many times I said to her, things have changed and it's not as hard. She didn't believe it. She really didn't.
And so how has that affected you and your identity and how you fit into the world in negative or positive ways?
I think it's made me want to find the positive in it more, to kind of say, look, you know, it isn't going to be hardship after hardship. It can be easy to a point, you know, it's sort of not wanting to dwell on the parts that are going to be more difficult and wanting to highlight the parts that are easier now than they were. So I've always tried to show her, like, I'm not going to be living this terrifying life where I'm in a cupboard and, you know, like...
I love it.
It's like Harry Potter.
When I was born, people would come and visit my mum, and my other mum would hide in a cupboard upstairs so that people didn't know. So sad. And I remember saying to her years later, like, did that not kill you doing that? And she was like, I had you, I didn't care. She rode the wave a bit, and now I'm glad she gets to be with someone that doesn't want to hide it so much and is a lot more confident.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
I mean, that must have affected you as a child, seeing your parents' relationship closeted.
I think so. And I think it was only when I realized that I had no memories of them being happy out in public together that it pushed me more to want to be out and proud and loud about it in a way, because I thought you only really get one chance to do that.
Yeah. I hope that for her, before she passed away, that she saw the positive through you. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I feel like, I feel like my mom, before she passed away, wasn't able to like do it for herself, but she could see some things that I had done. So it's like, I hope that she had that from you.
Yeah, I really hope so. I hope that she got to see that she wasn't, you know, watching me go off into this world that was only going to be negative towards me. I hope she got to see that, you know, there was a hell of a lot of positivity around. I think it was when she said she was going to make bunting for our wedding that I felt like she was finally coming around a little bit. Sadly, she did not make our wedding. She passed away a few months before. But she was very much there still. You know, we had photos and things like that. And I know that she actually maybe would have sat in the corner being quiet, but she would have soaked up that, you know, everyone's here and everyone's happy and it's a good occasion. It's not scary. And yeah, that. So I had to think of it that way.
Oh, that's so moving. That's so beautiful. It's just,
I know, I want to cry. I'm trying not to cry.
Crying a little bit. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
It seems like despite all of this, here you are following the same path.
Let's talk about that.
Donor sperm. So like...
Yeah.
We have never spoken to somebody second generation like this.
Doing it again.
Yeah.
Like the kids are all right. I just have to keep saying.
I know.
You're still not ruined, even though it wasn't like a smooth journey. You're not ruined still, even though your donor conceived and your parents are gay. Thank God.
Yay.
And divorced and all the things, you know, it's like, you still came out okay.
Yeah, we're still going. It was funny. I heard that a lot when we started our journey and we went to the fertility clinic, the amount of people that worked there saying, oh, I've not actually worked with someone that was conceived using donor sperm. I've only ever talked to people who are using it. I never really thought about it until I got there. And then it really did hit me.
I know. Was it just an obvious choice that you were going to use donor sperm? Or did you have a moment where you like, maybe I want a known donor because at that time you couldn't find your donor? Like,
I think, if anything, it made me more likely to use an anonymous as such donor and not a known donor because, well, for a starter, that was how I came. So it was the story I'd always heard. But also because my wife has been able to see what a positive relationship I have with Nikki, and we're so close. And that was never an issue, even though there was absolutely no blood shared between us. So I think she realized quite quickly she didn't care about that aspect. She wasn't fussed about wanting to do reciprocal IVF or anything like that. She said, you know, I don't want you to have to go through needles and a long process of IVF. So if we can just do donor sperm, she said, I'm happy with that. And I think that was purely because she was able to see how well I got on with Nikki. She said she had one wobble where she went, oh, what if she doesn't feel like mine when she's out? And then she said that went the second birdie was born, which is exactly what Nikki said and exactly what I think a lot of mums say.
My wife said that too.
I said that when
you have that little wobble. Yeah. And then actually the second they're here, it's gone.
Actually, I'd say my wobble was a little longer than a wobble.
Yeah, but Mary's too. But I like the word wobble. So let's stick with it.
Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Like, I don't know, quarantine, politics, the state of the world, the environment, homeschooling, winter is coming, the holidays without family, I don't know, no end in sight. potty training that never ends, like the terrible twos.
Okay, I could go on. All right, lady.
There's so many.
I thought you were just going to list like one or two things. Take it easy. If you're feeling anything like Jamie, folks, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And guess what? You can start chatting in under 48 hours. How amazing is that?
BetterHelp is great, especially during these crazy times, which I just laid out for you. And it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. You can log into your account anytime and you can send a message to your counselor, which I've done. And this is also why it's so good right now. You can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't even have to sit in an uncomfortable or, shall we say, germy waiting room as you would with traditional therapy.
True.
Nobody wants to sit in that cesspool.
And I love that they just have like a wide range of expertise that is available that might not be available to you locally. And it's also like BetterHelp is available worldwide.
Uh-huh. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So they make it really easy and free to change counselors if you need to.
Amazing.
And it's more affordable than traditional counseling, and financial aid is available.
You know, I love BetterHelp, and they want you, Jamie, to start living a happier life today. And Jamie, if you can visit their website, you could read all their testimonials there talking about how great they are.
I have. They're really good. You should go. Visit BetterHelp.com/OCT. That's Better H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
In fact, Jamie, did you know that so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states? It's that necessary right now for
really
you, Jamie.
It really is. It really is. And we have a special offer for If These Ovaries Could Talk listeners. You're going to get 10% off your first month. Whoop! At BetterHelp. At BetterHelp.com/OCT.
BetterHelp.com/OCT. Let's all get Jamie some help.
I need help. Winter is coming.
So your wife didn't want to carry?
No. At the beginning of our relationship, we'd said maybe we'd take it in turns. I'd always very much said that I wanted to be pregnant at some point, and she sort of said maybe. And then over the last few years, she's very much kind of settled into a soft butch kind of mentality and gone, I really don't want to be pregnant. And I said that was fine because actually I don't particularly want any more. I'm quite content with one. But it was nice that she kind of felt even if we wanted to do it that way, there was still no fear that, oh, but what if they're not full siblings? What if they're not, you know, and all those kind of fears that I think would have been more present if I was doing it as a first timer as such, they very much melted away because I was able to. I asked Nikki a lot of questions when pregnant, but most of them were for my wife, really. They were kind of going, did you worry about this? You know, how can I reassure her with this? And it really felt like we managed to sidestep a lot of that fear, really.
What a blessing. What a blessing to have. Yeah, I need my own Nikki.
I know. I must have brought you two closer, I would think, even closer.
Yeah, it did, actually.
We didn't ask. You were born via IUI at a fertility clinic?
Yes. Or,
okay. And then Birdie was born via IUI as well.
Yes. Yeah. So almost exactly the same. And it worked first time for my mum both times. And it worked first time for us as well.
Wow.
And we both conceived in November. And Birdie's born a week after me.
She's here with you.
Oh, my God.
She is there. Yeah. She's here with you. That's deep.
Now, the donor system has changed in the UK since, now you went through, is it HEFA or HEFA? How do you say it?
I always say HEFA, in all honesty, but I think it's HEFA.
That means that Jamie and I said it wrong in our audiobook, so just FYI, BT dubs.
I think a lot of people I've come across say it differently, honesty.
So, but now it's like, it has to be known, right? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so before, it was that it was anonymous at the start, and it remained anonymous. But the law changed, I want to say 2004. So it's anonymous up until the child is 18. Mm-hmm. And then the donor has kind of signed to say he understands he will have one contact at least. And if after that he doesn't want any further, that's okay. But they're kind of agreeing to they'll let that child contact them once. Yeah. And there's a ton more information that's given now. So even though it's anonymous, the donors can write about themselves. They can give a kind of message to the parents to be, so it's not so kind of clinical with just hair color, eye color, and that be it.
Right, and full medical history and things like that.
Yes, yeah, and they have to have a counseling session as well. So they did kind of before, but it wasn't as detailed. They just kind of had to sit and say, "Yeah, I'm okay being a donor," tick.
Right.
Whereas now they have to have an hour long counseling session and the sperm is put on hold for 6 months. So if they change their minds in that 6 months, then no one has got pregnant before they've changed their minds,
right.
Which I quite like the idea of, because I think it could hit a few people after donating that maybe that's not for them.
Yeah.
And you did it through the national healthcare. It's not like you had to use a private organization. You're in terms of your IUI.
We did use
a
private organization.
Oh, you did.
But the one that we used that was private is linked to the NHS anyway. So if we'd gone through it with the NHS, we would have ended up at the same clinic. We just didn't want to have the waiting times. That was purely
what's the waiting time like? I remember when we talked to Emma Brox that she was going at it as a single mom and there was real blocks for that. But if you were, thought if she was a lesbian couple, she would have been able to go through. But is there a long waiting period?
There's still a long waiting period.
What are you waiting for?
In all honesty, I don't know. I don't know whether you're waiting for a kind of slot at these private clinics, because the clinic that you go to is still private. And I think that's the case everywhere. I think there's only maybe a handful of NHS places where you are still doing it only NHS, whereas all the clinics themselves are run privately. So you're almost waiting for a slot there to be seen. Whereas if you're going in and paying,
the door is open immediately.
Yeah. They like you and you'll jump to the front. If you did go on the NHS, the bonus is obviously free. But the problem is you have to jump a lot more hurdles beforehand. A single mother there's definitely more. But even as a lesbian couple, so if one of you had a child from a previous relationship, whether it was a heterosexual or you'd gone through it the same, you aren't eligible for the NHS.
Oh,
so
because
they're like, you already got a kid?
A baby.
Yeah.
Whoa. It's a weird little.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You're only allowed one. That's it. But then there's some other hurdles as well, things like age. I feel like it's once you're 34, then you're not eligible on the NHS. You have to pay for a certain amount of IUIs. And then if they don't work, you can go back to the NHS and say,
so you have to show it as a fertility issue. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we thought at first, why don't we just go through the NHS? We're not in a hurry. We're both young. But the idea of having to jump those hurdles just to start a family kind of killed me a bit. And I just went, we have the funds to do it. So we said, we'll pay for three. And if it doesn't work, then we'll reassess and maybe look at seeing if we can get any funding for IVF.
Yeah.
No matter how you cut it, it's just not easy to make our families.
No.
Even when you get pregnant on the first try.
Yep. Unicorn.
And she was born on her due date as well.
Wow. I love all the like almost echoes of your parents to your relationship to Birdie. It's so beautiful. Like all the, it's you have a lovely, lovely story.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh my God, Freya and Birdie.
I love her.
And Birdie, isn't that a love that name for a baby?
That family chooses the
so
best
sweet.
Names. How fun. She looks great.
Why is she so
she
together?
Is
she has a 6-week-old and she's like so much more together. Why do we suck so much, Jamie?
Everybody's more together than us, Robin. That's just the way it is.
We should just accept that. Maybe we should just acknowledge it and accept it.
I think we've moved through that and we know it now. So anywho.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's awesome. Thank you, Freya. Thanks for sharing your story.
I found her on like some Facebook group and then I was like, be on our show. And she was like, okay. She was great.
She's great.
She was like, all right.
Okay. All right, guys. So as you know, our book is out now. If These Ovaries Could Talk, the things we've learned about making an LGBTQ family, it's available at all major retailers. Kindle, print, hardcover, and audiobook is out now.
Yes.
Now. I don't know what just happened there.
Now.
I was on such a roll too. It's available on Audible, Amazon, and iTunes, and you can get that bundle where you can toggle between your Kindle and audiobook.
Yes.
And if you do get it, or even if you don't, don't be afraid to review it on Amazon or Goodreads.
And now Google.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Tell them how to do that. Should we tell them how to do that?
You just type in Google, you just type in If These Ovaries Could Talk book, and then on the right side, it'll pop up, and you can review the book right there. You just like 5 stars.
It's
say we're
right
amazing
there.
And
you don't
done.
Even have to go to another page. Also, you don't have to type
and
book.
Then,
you just write If These Ovaries Could Talk. You don't even have to type the extra word book.
That's amazing.
I know.
And then as soon as you're done with that, go over onto our social media and chat with us over there. You can get us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Ovaries Talk. Also on YouTube, we're now If These Ovaries Could Talk. And you can see recordings of our live streams. Don't forget, we do live streams every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays.
They're very fun.
And And guys, if you feel like it, support our podcast. Help us make this podcast by joining our Patreon community. Patreon.com/ovaries talk. And don't forget, you're going to get bonus content there. And also, you're going to hear Jamie go, please, please.
I mean, they just heard that. So I ain't too proud to beg.
Ain't too proud to beg.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
To our sponsors.
Yes, Cove, Modern Fertility, and BetterHelp. A big thank you to all our Patreons for helping us make this show possible.
Like Jenny Griffin.
Jenny Griffin. We thank you. We love you. Thank you so much. I guess it's that time. Now's the time to say ovaries.
I'm going to do it as Helen. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
Okay.
I need a new cigarette.
Helen, put your glasses on. Put them on.
I'm drunk.
You're going to hit the wall, Helen. Don't hit the wall. Oh, Helen.
Ow. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.